Paul begins to give some details of what will take place at the second coming of the Lord. Now, this is strictly a Pauline revelation. Although I'm sure the others had the revelation, but Paul was given the most detailed revelation as recorded in the Bible of the second coming of Jesus for the church. And it says here in chapter 4, verse 15, 14 and 15, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even as God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord will descend from heaven, we will shout with the voice of our archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So Paul talks about the different things that will happen. He says that there is a resurrection that will take place when Jesus comes again. That's point one. And this is the resurrection of those who died in Christ. It is not a resurrection of their souls or their spirits. Because when anyone dies, their spirit and their soul goes to be with Jesus, those who are believers in Jesus. Paul said, the scriptures is based on what Paul said in Philippians, that if I die, I will be present with Christ. And when Stephen was dying, he says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do not lay this charge on them." And so it's important to understand that. And Jesus was there to welcome him. So when anyone dies in Jesus, they go to be with Jesus in the air, in the heavens. But they have only their spirits and their soul. Their physical bodies are not resurrected yet. And there was another point of time when there was a resurrection that already took place. So let me give the whole panorama in a very quick moment. We will look more in detail the next week in 2 Thessalonians. When the Old Testament saints believe in God, the revelation of Jesus, they look forward for salvation. But Jesus has not come yet. So all of them went into a waiting room that we call Hades. In that waiting room, which is in the center of the earth, it's divided into two portions. One called Abraham's bosom, is notice the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The other, the wicked. It's like a waiting room. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he went into Abraham's bosom, proclaimed his coming, and when he arose, in Ephesians 4, we are told he took captivity captive. In the Gospel of Matthew, when he arose, he took the first batch of people resurrected physically up with him. That's in the Gospel of Matthew. And we are looking at chapter 27, verse 53. "And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." So the graves were opened, and physically there was a resurrection. It is called the first fruits, the first resurrection. All the Old Testament saints up to Jesus coming, first coming on this earth, were taken into heaven. Before that, they all were waiting down there. There were two exceptions. That was Enoch and Elijah. And there was one special exception. That was Moses. He was taken out early. Otherwise, all of them were waiting there. So Jesus took them up into heaven. And now, he's up there. It's a New Testament period. He has come. Anyone from Jesus' first coming and first resurrection, and his resurrection from the dead, anyone who dies now, their body is still down here. It decays. whereas the spirit and soul goes up to be with Him. So in heaven right now at this time, there are those who are in the Old Testament dispensation who have a resurrection, and there are those in the New Testament dispensation who only have their spirits and souls up there. We have a few people like who are some of them, Percy Colley, and others like Jesse Duplantis, who have been to heaven, and they describe how that there are saints there, and he's talking about Old Testament saints, who already have their resurrected bodies, like Jesus, and there are others like in the New Testament who died and fell asleep in Jesus, and their spirits and souls were there. There was a distinct difference. And I read most of the books that come out about people who have heavenly experience. Like there's one doctor, and when he went there, he talked about how when he stepped on the heavenly grass, the grass go through his leg and all that. That's because it was only his spirit and soul. His resurrected body was not there yet. So we have the overall theological aspect to evaluate people's individual experience. And let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And bring this point through. In speaking about the resurrection from the dead, he says in verse 20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." That means all those who died before Jesus resurrected, including people like Simeon and all those others, were resurrected with Him. That is the first resurrection. Now the second one comes later at the second coming of Jesus, which is in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So he says we will be changed. Those who are alive at his coming, and those who died in Jesus Christ in the New Testament, their bodies will be resurrected. Those who are alive, their bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be caught up to be with Him. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, he says in verse 16, "The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout," and notice where we meet Him. It says here that in verse 17, "We who are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." We need to differentiate that the second coming of Jesus are in two parts. There is one that is a coming for the Jews coming down to Israel. There's one that's coming for the church in the air. In my early days as a Christian, it was confusing because I said, you know, why the second coming got two parts? If you notice, even his first coming got two parts. When he came, although he came for all of us at the same time, yet his ministry was very clear. He ministered to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. When he sent his disciples in Matthew 10 and in Luke 9, he told them, "Do not go to the Gentiles, go to the lost sheep of Israel." Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 1, the gospel was first preached to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. After his resurrection, he changed, or rather the dispensation changed. And he said, "Go to every creature." So now it's a Gentile period. Jesus recognized dispensation. Of course, when he died on the cross, it's for all eternally. Jews, Gentiles, and everything. But we need to understand there was a twofold coming. And the twofold coming was separated by a period of about 3 years. Although he ministered to some Gentiles during his 3 years, primarily it was to the Jews. He did not purposely leave us Gentiles out. It was God's order of working. In the end, everyone will be blessed, which is his intention. But he has an orderly way of working. Then, in the second coming, there are also two parts. But it's the opposite. Whereas in the Old Testament, in the first coming, he came first for the Jews. So that when the Syrophoenician woman came for him, he did not answer her. And instead he replied, I was sent not but to the lost sheep of Israel. Now that was true but not fully revealed. That later he was going to demonstrate it to the Gentiles. And he shall be a light to the Gentiles. Which is a prophecy about Jesus. And later it was fulfilled by Paul in Acts chapter 13. They became a light to the Gentiles. That prophecy was quoted. So in his first coming, it was the Jews first. 3 years later, it was fully released to the Gentiles. Now during this period, anyone who has faith could reach him. Even if you live in the Old Testament, you could be a Naaman, you could still reach to God. So understand that faith transcends dispensation. But they were definitely dispensations. Now the opposite happens at his second coming. There are two phases of it, just like his first coming. But instead of the Jews first, now the Gentiles come first. Because it must end our dispensation before going to the Jews. And the other difference is, instead of a gap of 3 years, it's a gap of 7 years. And the gap of 7 years is prophesied in the book of Daniel. It's called the last week of Daniel. The last week, special week. 7 years, called the tribulation years. So there's a gap. And so he must end the Gentile dispensation before he has the Jewish dispensation for 7 years. And so what happened is that there is a second coming, phase one, for the Gentiles in the air. He catches all up. Then the earth goes into 7 years of tribulation. Then Zechariah chapter 14. There is his second coming, phase two. Say, why don't you call it third coming? You can't. Because to the Jews, it is his second coming. So using the number three or third will be theologically incorrect. You can only say second coming, phase two. Which is to the Jews, and Zechariah chapter 14 says, he lands on the Mount of Olives. But you notice something different. When he comes down, it is to challenge the army of the Antichrist. There is no mention of the resurrection from the dead. Different from the first phase, where there is a resurrection of the dead in Christ. Then, the resurrection from the dead did not happen in Zechariah chapter 14. It happened after he dealt with the Antichrist. Then only there was a resurrection for judgment of all peoples whom God has made. So we realize there is a different dispensation. Plus, in Matthew chapter 24, when you read the Bible, when it talks about the second coming of Jesus, you've got to look carefully. Is it talking about phase 1 or phase 2? In phase 2, there is one place you must go to. There is the mountains. When you see the sun coming, he tells you, and you see the time of the abomination of desolation, you must run to the mountains. So all these have to do with phase 2 during the tribulation period. But there is a phase 1 which is a meeting him in the air. Next week we will talk about all the different views and explain why there are different views. But we are just going to cover this point in chapter 4 to show that there are these two phases. They are there. Whatever view a person take, which we will see next week, you have to be able to either combine the faces, divide the faces, or explain the faces. Right? But the scripture points that they are there. And different things happen at the phase. Different phase of the second coming of Jesus. Here is meeting him in the air. And it says, where we always will be with him. So we're going to be there with him. Which is what I call the supper of the Lamb will take place up there, and the tribulation will take place down here. Now chapter 5, which gives us clue as to when it takes place. Before tribulation, mid-tribulation, or after tribulation. The key is found in chapter 5. It tells us in verse 9, God did not appoint us to wrath.